Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Good morning. Aren't y'all so excited that we lost an hour of sleep? Like, really, it's actually 8:52, so well done being to church early. If you don't know me, my name is Emily Skase. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my joy to get to begin one of our new series called Encountering Jesus. Now, this series, Encountering Jesus, it reminds me of a story my dad would tell me as a little girl. It was a story about this boy who was afraid of the dark, which meant that his bedtime routine, let's just say it was prolonged. His dad not only would have to pray with him before he went to sleep, he also had to look into the closet and show him there are no monsters. He would even look under the bed to remind him, no monsters here. And then he'd even sit with his son, talk through his fears, what's on his heart, and they would close again in prayer until his son finally went to sleep. But then there was one night nothing was working. Didn't matter how many times his dad went through the bedtime routine, every time he left, he would hear, Daddy, Daddy, come back, I'm scared. So finally, he came in and he said, Son, don't you know Jesus is with you? We've talked about this, we've prayed to him, he's with you. And his son said, I know, Dad, but it'd sure be nice if he had skin on. You know, at the center of our text in verse 39, Jesus doesn't just give an invitation. He gives a promise. For the fullest translation is actually, if you come, then you will see. And Jesus stands before the world today. He stands before us today with this promise. If you come, you will see. So how do we respond? You know, it was nice for the disciples, Andrew and the other disciple, because Jesus had skin on. They could see him. They knew what to do. But what does it look like for you and I to encounter Jesus? What does it look like to take hold of this promise? And as we unpeel what is in this text, I believe we will find the answers. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, we know that you are God who is here. We know, Jesus, that you stand before us promising if we come, we will see. And so, Lord, as we open up your text, as we dig into it, would you reveal your truth to us? Would you show us the way to accept your invitation to come and see who you are and whose we are? And Lord, I ask that I would decrease and that you would increase, that it would be you talking to us this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus tells us, if you come, then you will see. And there are two parts to this invitation. One, we've got to come to, and the second is we've got to come with. And so the first one is very obvious, right? We come to who? Jesus. Right? I know y'all have lost an hour of sleep, but we come to who? Jesus, right? We come to the very person himself, the one who is extending this promise to us. Now, that sounds so obvious, but there's something I want us to see in verses 35 to 37. So if you'll look back there with me. Verse 35 starts, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Now, what's going on here? Well, about 700 years before this very moment, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah was declaring to the people of God that there would come a Savior into the world to save us from our sins. But the way this Savior would do so, Isaiah said he would be crushed for our sin. He would be pierced for our transgressions. He would be whipped so we would be healed. He would be beaten so we would be whole. And Isaiah goes on to say, and he would be led like a lamb to slaughter. And so fast forward 700 years, we've got John the Baptist pointing to Jesus Christ in the flesh, declaring, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, this is a shocking sermon. This is bound to draw all kinds of attention. I mean, John is preaching a strong sermon. This is probably one of his best sermons, best days out there preaching. He's like Billy Graham on steroids right here. And compare that to Jesus, who, did you notice? He's just walking by. Like, he's just nonchalant, on the outskirt, easy to miss. As I look at this scene, I've got to wonder just how tempting it would have been for these two disciples to stay seated at John's feet, to be amazed at John and his words and his articulation and his theology, and completely miss the person of Jesus. And yet, what do? They actually get up and go beyond the sermon to the person. What would that look like for us to even now go beyond the sermon to the person of Jesus? What would it look like in our quiet time as we open up God's word and we don't just read the word, but we allow it to take us to the very person of Jesus? What would it look like to not only pray, but allow our prayers to bring us into the throne room of the kingdom? What would it look like to worship and not just be following along, but to be worshiping the audience of one who is with us? What would it look like to come to Jesus anywhere in our lives, whether it's at work or it's in the home, even when you're out running errands? What would it look like to come to Jesus, to come to the very person himself who gives us this promise, if you come, then you will see? You know what I think? I think it simply starts by just saying these two words, you're here. Just taking the time to pause, to slow down, and declare to your heart, you're here. To say it enough till it sinks down into the bones. Say it enough till it burns in your heart. Say it to yourself until you truly believe it. He's here. Because you see, we aren't going to come to Jesus unless we really believe he's actually here. Do we believe that? Do we believe that right now? That he's not even just walking by, but he is actually here with us? That his gaze is fixed upon you even in this moment? That he delights in searching your own heart? The Lamb of God who saves the world is here. What would it look like for us to move beyond the sermon to the person who is here? And so we've got to come to Jesus, but here's what happens when we do. We've got to come with. Let me explain. Did you notice Jesus' question in verse 38? The disciples, they begin to follow him. They're kind of lurking behind him. Today we would call that borderline stalking. But Jesus, without judgment, he turns to them and he asks this question, what are you seeking? That's a question that knocks on the door of the heart, is it not? It's like Jesus is asking, what is going on in your soul? What is that thing that you've been constantly thinking about, that you've been constantly holding on to or dealing with or struggling with? What is it that's on your heart? You know, the word come doesn't just mean to arrive somewhere. It also means to make oneself known, to reveal yourself. And Jesus is wanting to ask us this question: what is on your heart? What are you seeking? I think a lot of the times it's hard to answer this question. Sometimes we can be ashamed of what's lying down in there. To be honest, this morning I was coming to the Lord, coming with my heart open, and I was just being honest. Lord, when I preach this morning, I want you to show up. I want it to be for all your glory. I want to decrease and you would increase. People would come to you yourself and experience you. And then at the same time, I told him I also want to be light. I also want to be good enough. I want to be understood. I want to preach and people go, ah, that's why she's a pastor. I had to be honest with the Lord. I think sometimes when we get this question from Jesus, what are you seeking? It can be easy to be ashamed of what's down there. Because we're human. And yet Jesus is asking us, what are you seeking? He's not asking because he doesn't know the answer. He actually already knows what's there. Which, good news, he's not going to be shocked by anything we bring him. But he's asking this question because he is a God who doesn't just want proximity, but a God who wants intimacy. And what's the most intimate thing we can do is bring our hearts to him, to take a part of us and give it away, to bring our innermost secret, to confide in him as our Father. Jesus is asking, what are you seeking? And so we've got to come to the very person of Jesus. We've got to come with our hearts open to him. And as Jesus promises, if you come, then you will see. And we'll see what the disciples went out and see. We see in verse 41, after they spent the day with Jesus, they come out declaring, we found the Messiah. You want to know what Messiah means? Now, many of you Bible scholars, you already know, yes, it means the anointed one. But you want to know the most basic translation of Messiah? Fat. I told my mom when I discovered this, I was like, Mom, you'll never know. Messiah actually means fat. And she was like, Emily, please don't you dare tell them that. And I said, not only am I going to tell them, I'm going to make a PowerPoint slide. Messiah, the most basic translation is fat. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. Think about it. Back in the Old Testament times, Israel, when they wanted to make a sacrifice to the Lord, what part of the animal did they put on the altar? The fat. The juiciest part. The most tender part. It was Israel's way of saying, here is our best. Here is our all. We're withholding nothing. And so when Andrew and this other disciple go running to Jesus and they stay with him, what did they find in the person of Jesus? They found God's best. They found God's all. That God did not withhold, rather he gave his own son and put him on the altar. And that is what we find, the Messiah, the Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. If we come, then we will see. Question is, will we take him up on that? You know, what I love about this story is we have no idea what took place when the disciples went and hung out with Jesus. And I actually find that so comforting because it's like scripture is remaining silent on this as if to remind us there's no one right way to encounter Jesus. He could come to you like a thundering cloud or he could come to you like a thin silence. He can make the Pentecostals drop on the floor. He can make the Presbyterian nod their head. There's no one right way for God to encounter us. And I think sometimes we can hear other people's story, like they got this audible voice or they got this vision, and we think, well, I don't get that. So am I encountering God? Here's what a true encounter is. It's when the truth of who God is arises in your heart. It's when you have the eyes of faith to see who he is. That Jesus is the Messiah. That he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That he truly is Yahweh, the great I am. That he is the Almighty God, the consuming fire who comes to us. That he's the bread of life, the true vine to sustain us. That he is the way and truth and the life everlasting. That he is truly resurrection itself. That he is the door to the kingdom. That he's the great shepherd of the sheep. That he is the light of the world. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. The God who is here. And he's calling us now. If you come, then you will see. If we come to the person of Jesus, we come with our hearts open, we will see. And I don't know how it will happen or what you'll find, but I do know who. And you know, this is a call for us to do this individually, to come to him in our own personal lives. But I also believe this is a call for us to come as a church, as one body. You know, lately, I've been hearing all around the whispers of God is doing something here. Y'all sense that? God's stirring something. Something is bubbling up. And I want y'all to know that your pastors, that as we pray about this and discern this, we agree. We do believe God is wanting to do a new thing here at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared if we are to receive. And I believe the way that we do that is by coming to him as one body, taking him up on his promise, if you come, then you will see. So as I close us in prayer and as we sing our two final songs, can we do that as one body? To come to the person of Jesus, to come with our hearts open to him, not to manipulate God, not to try and see if an earthquake happens or the new Pentecost that comes down and we see tongues of fire above our heads, but just to come in faith and obedience, believing that he's here and he is able to do what he promises. If you come, then you will see. So will you join me in prayer? Jesus, our Messiah, the Lamb of God who went to the cross on our behalf. Lord, we do declare that you are here. You are God with us. Lord, help us to not miss that. Show us what it looks like to come to you fully, to come to you wholeheartedly, Lord. We bring ourselves to you and say, show us who you are. Show us more of you, even if just a glimpse. Lord, here we are, your people, your church, declaring, we believe. Help our unbelief. We desire you. Give us more desire. We are here, and yet we need you to draw us in. Lord, do nothing less. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.